Isaiah chapter 7, we've got this prophecy about Jesus Christ. We've got the prophecy about the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. The Bible says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God had already said there's going to be a young lady, not just a young lady, but she is going to be a virgin. She'll have never have known a man. She's not married. And she's going to have a son. The conception will be miraculous, and she's going to have a son. And you're going to call his name something. And what you call his name is very special, very important. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, does anybody remember what the name Emmanuel means? It means God with us. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God said through the prophet Isaiah, "I'm going to send you a sign. Here's the sign. A virgin shall conceive, she'll have a son, and you will call his name God with us." Now go to Matthew chapter 1. There's a prophecy we're using as a launch point. Now, Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 22. Matthew 1, verse number 22. We'll read a couple verses here. This is in reference to that same prophecy. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Christmas in July. It's going to happen today. I know we're 10 days early, but that's all right. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 22. The Bible says this, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Here's the message this morning. It's a simple message this morning. It's a doctrinal message this morning, but here it is. The significance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. All right, so we've got six messages that we're preaching about Jesus Christ, and we're going to preach about the humility of Jesus Christ, the exaltation of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the ascension. Before we get into any of that this morning, the significance of the virgin birth, is it really that important? Does it really matter that Jesus was born to a virgin? We'll talk about that here in just a moment, but let me just give you yes. The answer is yes. So many newer versions of the Bible are taking that out. And I'm not preaching a message about versions of the Bible, but just you need to notice this. So many versions of the Bible are taking that out, and they'll say a young woman will conceive, or a young woman conceived. But the Bible says a virgin shall conceive. Is it important? Does it matter? Why is it one of the big doctrines of the Bible? Go to Luke chapter 1, if you would. Luke chapter 1. And I want to read this story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a story that needs to be limited just to Christmas time. Think about this. We celebrate it at Christmas time, but if Jesus hadn't have come, there's no purpose even of being here today. So we're going to go back through. We saw the prophecy, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's what calls the name Emmanuel. We see in Matthew chapter 1 the recall of that prophecy and God giving that to us again. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse number 26, we won't read the whole chapter, but we'll read part of it here. The Bible says this, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." God's making it very clear what we're talking about. It's not just a young woman. This is a young woman that should not be expecting a baby. It's a young woman who's not married. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. What a great verse that is. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I don't want to leave it at that, so go to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. We've got the prophecy. There will be a virgin that will have a son, and you're going to name him Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, we've got the recall of that prophecy. And now you've got the angel coming to Mary and saying, this is what's going to happen, and it's about to happen right now. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth. Here's the fulfillment of the prophecy from hundreds of years back. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The significance of the virgin birth. What does it matter? I'm going to give you 5 points this morning, and we're going to turn to some verses. We're going to look at them. Why does it matter? Well, number one is this. It proves the reliability of Scripture. It proves the reliability of Scripture. The fact that a virgin has a baby proves the reliability of Scripture. But more than that even, look at Matthew chapter 1. If you would turn there, Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 16. See, normally the genealogy would just talk about the dad. It would talk about this dad had this son, who had this son, who had this son, who had this son. And if you go all the way through the genealogies, we spent some time there last week. There's one in Matthew chapter 1, and there's one in Luke chapter 3. And we spent some time last week looking through those genealogies. And this person begat this person, begat this person, begat this person, all the way down. You know, these are the parts when you start and you say, I'm going to read through my New Testament. And you get to Matthew chapter 1, and you're thinking, wait a minute, can I do this? Can I make it through all the begets? Well, there's a purpose for them. We looked last week at what those purposes were. But when you get to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 16, you see this. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So normally genealogies mention only the names of the fathers. But in this case, you've got Joseph, and it says, who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. First of all, it proves the reliability of Scripture. Let me give you another one. And it's number two. It's this, what is the significance of the virgin birth? Here you go. It was how God acquired a human nature without affecting His sinless deity. We preached quite a bit about this last week. I'm not going to rehash a lot of that. I'm not going to review a lot of that. But God had to become a man. God can't die. A man, God had to become a man so that a man could die. The man could be the sacrifice. So we looked at so many scriptures last week of how Jesus came. He became the sacrifice. We looked at Hebrews and how He took His own blood and He offered His own blood upon the mercy seat. He became the perfect sacrifice. He became the perfect priest. He was all of that, but He had to become a man. And the way He became a man without becoming a sinful man was being born to a virgin. So Jesus is the Son of God, and He's the Son of humans, or we'd call Him the Son of Man, but He wasn't the Son of Joseph. We'll see this here in just a moment again. If Jesus had been the Son of Joseph and the Son of Mary, He wouldn't be God. But more than that, He would have a sinful nature. So there's some verses that I want you to see. This is how God became a human. He acquired a human nature without affecting His sinless deity. And when I say this, God became a human, I know I could be labeled for heresy on that just because it's hard to describe this without saying something that almost sounds wrong. God became a human without stopping to be God. I've got to stop and clarify that. He never stopped being God. He was always God. But He was a human as well because He was born to Mary. Okay, so find John chapter 1. John chapter 1. if you remember from last week, we've got a genealogy of Joseph in Matthew. In the book of Luke, we've got the genealogy of Mary. You know what the genealogy is? Genealogy is this person is the father of this person, who's the father of this person, who's the father of this person. It's who all the descendants are. So in Matthew, there's the genealogy of Joseph. And it gets all the way down to Joseph. And it doesn't say Joseph, the father of Jesus. It says Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Okay, so you've got Joseph's genealogy in Matthew. And then you get to Luke chapter 3, and you've got Mary's genealogy. All right, so Matthew's genealogy goes down from Abraham down to Jesus. Luke's genealogy starts at Jesus and works its way up, so it's kind of going the other direction. Jesus, who was the son of, all the way up, if you look at Luke, all the way up to Adam. The book of Mark, if you remember, we mentioned this last week, doesn't have a genealogy. And if you remember, the reason the book of Mark doesn't have a genealogy, most people say, is because Mark presents Jesus as a servant. The symbol of for the book of Mark, as I remember from college classes, is an ox, just a servant, all right? Servants don't need genealogy. So you've got Matthew, genealogy of Joseph. Mark, there's no genealogy there. Luke, the genealogy of Mary. But what about John? Okay, John chapter 1, look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the word Word here, it's capitalized, it's talking about a person. This person is talking about Jesus Christ. Now it's not giving us the name Jesus Christ here, but here we have the genealogy in John. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus always was. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now understand this, Jesus is God. Jesus always will be God, and Jesus always was God. He was in the beginning. There was nothing before Jesus. He has always existed. Now, he didn't always exist as a man on the earth, but he always has existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. We understand that. Look at verse number 14 now. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in that statement right there, you've got the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The Word, this God that has existed since eternity past, God became flesh. The Bible says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's significant about the virgin birth? First, it proves the reliability of Scripture. Second, it was how God acquired a human nature without affecting His sinless deity. If Jesus would have had Joseph's blood or the blood of the human race in Him, He would not have been perfect. He would have had sinless blood. Just like you are born into this world as a sinful person. I was born into this world as a sinful person. The Bible says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But Jesus avoided that because He was born to a virgin. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to give you just a few more verses on this point, and hopefully you can find these places kind of fast. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. We're talking about Jesus being God. All right? Let this mind, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So God, made in the likeness of men, but thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus is God. He never stopped being God. And we understand that He was able to become a human or take on human nature without affecting His sinless deity. Let me give you one verse. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 10:5. The Bible says this, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for Me. Jesus came to this earth and He took on the form of man. We talked about the humanity of Jesus last week. Do you remember the description of the humanity of Jesus? He felt like humans feel. He had agony. He had pain. He had hunger. He had thirst. He was a human in a human body. He dealt with temptation. We understand. We looked at all of that last week. So he became the form, the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he also had this body, and he's in a human body, but he still was God, and he was sinless God because he was born of a virgin. It proves the reliability of Scripture. The virgin birth, it proves, or it was how God acquired a human nature without affecting his sinless deity. He is a human in flesh, but he is still sinless. He is still God. He is still perfect God. He can still be the perfect sacrifice that came to pay for our sin. He's all human, and he's all God. What did the virgin birth do? Here's a big one. It allowed him to avoid the curse of Adam. We're going to mention the curse of Jeconiah again because it's part of it. I know we mentioned it last week. But before that, there's a curse that came upon Adam. So I want you to turn to a couple places. First of all, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God created Adam. God created Eve. God put them in the Garden of Eden. Some people wonder if they had belly buttons or not. I happen to think they did. All right? You'd think, well, probably not. They didn't have parents. Well, they did. I really believe because whenever God was done with Adam and God was done with Eve, he said, you're done and you're done. And he just poked them right there. And I don't know. This is just a theory, okay? Did you find it yet? I'm spending time here while you're looking for 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The fact that Jesus was born to a virgin means that he avoided the curse that was placed upon Adam. And here's that curse. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came all the resurrection of the dead. Now look at this curse. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's this curse that came upon Adam. See, Adam was created to live forever. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine them living 900 years. Can you imagine how long their ears would have been? Their chins. I mean, there's some things that don't stop growing on you, no matter how old you get. And, you know, that Adam's ears probably drugged the ground. I'm just guessing here. Okay, so maybe not. But 900 years old, I can't imagine that old. But they were created to live forever. God made Adam and Eve to never die. And whenever they sinned, the curse that they brought upon themselves, remember God said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They didn't die physically, they died spiritually, but eventually died physically. Their lifespans got shorter and shorter. They lived 900 some years. Methuselah coming a little bit later. Actually, it's a lot later, it's thousands of years later, but just a few generations. 969 years, I believe Methuselah lived. Just super, super old guy. But by the time you got to Abraham, it's about 120 years. And now God says, even the time of, I believe it was David, 70 years. And if you live to be 80 by reason of strength. So our lifespan has just cut down so much more. But in the beginning, they were designed to live forever. God created them to live forever. And then they sinned. I can't imagine the disappointment. The disappointment in realizing, so I was going to live forever and never had to, what was that word you said again? Oh, die. Yeah, that word. I was never going to have to die, but now because I sinned, I have to die? So Adam died. If you look at, I believe it's Genesis chapter, is it 5? I think it's 6. It's the death chapter. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. The Bible says, and Adam died, and Seth died, and Enoch, he didn't die. He was taken by God. But you go through all these, Noah died. You go through all of these, and they died, and they died, and they died. Everybody has to die. But something different about Jesus, because he was born to a virgin, he wasn't in the line of Adam having to die. So in Romans chapter 5, would you turn there? Romans chapter 5, it describes this curse that's on every man. You understand this. We live in a sin-cursed earth. I hate sickness. I hate death. One of the big reasons I didn't want to become a pastor because I didn't want to do funerals. I had no desire to do a funeral. I wanted to stay as far away from those as I possibly could. But God called me to preach and put me in the pastorate and gave me the grace to help with that. And I've been able to, but I still hate it. I hate death. I hate sickness. I hate suffering. I hate hurting. And the reason we have that is it's the curse of Adam. It's the curse of sin on earth. You hear people ask this question. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Well, we're asking the question wrong. Why does God even allow anything good to happen to us at all, really? We live in this cursed earth. Why do babies die? Pray for Caleb and Connie. They're in the hospital right now. They don't expect their baby to live really even through today. They didn't expect it to live through yesterday, and it did. But I hate death. The reason for death is sin. And we see that this sin is passed generation to generation to generation. But Jesus avoided that curse. Now look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One verse that describes this curse. So who was the one man? That was Adam. By one man sin entered into the world. Death came because of sin or by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We know that we're appointed unto die. The Bible says appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every single person who lives will die because of the curse of Adam, because of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him who was to come. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, talking about Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now, this is a chapter about salvation and understanding that since Jesus avoided the curse of Adam, the curse of sin, he could be the one who gives eternal life. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Here's another verse that describes this. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. How would you like to be Adam sitting by while somebody's reading this? Oh, oh, that one is talking about me. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, verse 20, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Last verse. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a huge chapter. The curse of sin. The curse of sin is death. And if you go back through this, by one man sin entered into the world. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Adam's transgression. The offense of one. One that sinned. One to condemnation. One man's offense. The offense of one judgment came. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And because of Adam, you and I are sinners. Because of Adam, every one of us deserves to die and go to a place called hell. And if Jesus would have been born to Mary and Joseph, Jesus would have been a sinner. He would have been condemned to death as well. So there had to have been a different plan. And that's why God said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The fourth point I want to give you this morning is the significance of the virgin birth is it allowed Jesus to avoid the curse of Jeconiah. We spent time on it last week, so I'm just going to give you the verse so that you can have it together. Jeremiah 22:30, the Bible says this, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, talking about King Jeconiah, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David, and ruling any more in Judah. So if there's anyone who is of the seed of David, he is cursed. He cannot be the king. The curse, none of his seed could sit on the throne of David. The problem, in order to inherit the throne, Jesus had to be legally related to David. That means he had to be legally related to Jeconiah. But he couldn't be physically related to Jeconiah. So there's a problem that had to happen. We mentioned this last week, just a reminder. The solution is that Jesus was physically related to Mary, not Joseph. Mary was a descendant of David's son Nathan. Joseph was a descendant of David's son of Solomon. And because of Jesus coming through the line of Nathan, he is legally able to sit on the throne of David, which God prophesied what would happen. In our last verse, go back to Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 7 is where we started this morning. What's the significance of the virgin birth? I don't have all the numbers right in front of me because it really wasn't the direction I was planning to go this morning. But I've given you this word picture before. For Jesus to come to this earth and fulfill the prophecies about Him, the odds of that happening are, I gave you this picture, this word picture. We just came from Texas, all right? The Holy Land. That's what they call it. We were in a hotel, and they make their waffles in the shape of Texas there. Man, these are the most proud people you have ever seen. Right? All right, I'm married to Texans. So, if you were to take the state of Texas and cover it so that the whole thing is covered with silver dollars, right? You take one silver dollar and mark it with a marker or something. You mix them all up, and you walk out blindfolded into Texas. Great way to walk through Texas, blindfolded. You walk blindfolded through Texas, someplace in the middle, and you reach down and you grab a silver dollar. The chance of it being the same one that you marked is the same odds of Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies that He fulfilled. This is one of them. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. What's the significance of the virgin birth? It fulfills the prophecy of the Old Testament. There's so much about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and we could spend more time going through so much more of that. I told you to be a little shorter than normal. Here's what I want you to get. Your Savior came to this earth. He is God, never stopped being God, but was born to a virgin. And because He was born to a virgin, it means that He didn't start out with a sin nature like you and I did. Because He is sinless, it means He could go to the cross and He could pay the price for our sins, dying on the cross as the sinless sacrifice and pay for our sins. While you know this, and this is probably something that you've heard before, this is a reminder. And as we're preaching this series, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, all man, but completely sinless. Father, I pray that You would use this message this morning. I pray that it would strengthen our faith and strengthen what we believe about You. Lord, I know this is not a motivational type of a message, but it is solid doctrinal. And Lord, we just want to lift You up. So I pray that You would work this morning as we do that. There's so many people, there's so many movements that are trying to change what we believe. Lord, they're changing what our Bible says. They're taking out the doctrine of the virgin birth. And Lord, I just want our people to be solid and understand the significance of the virgin birth.